Thank you very much, Mr. Lord. Still morning, so good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath to you all. It's good to see all of you. I'd like to welcome everybody on the webcast. Welcome to Buffalo. As was mentioned, it's a little overcast today. I think it was about 61 or 62 driving in. It's supposed to get up to the, might hit 70 today. But we're getting there. It's hard to believe that Pentecost is just about a week away, as also was mentioned. Time flies when you're having fun, they say. And it flies when you're getting older, too. Brethren, please turn to James 1 and verse 27. We'll start there today. James 1 and verse 27. It says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And notice the second part here. This is what I want to focus on. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Again, I like to focus our attention on this part of the verse: to keep oneself unspotted from the world. What does that mean, to keep oneself unspotted from the world? Well, to give us a bigger picture, we'll look at this verse in a few other translations, which I like to do. From the Amplified Bible, it puts it this way: to keep oneself uncontaminated by the world. The Christian Standard Bible says to keep oneself unstained from the world. The Common English Bible says to keep the world from contaminating us. God's Word translation says to remain uncorrupted by the world. And finally, the Worldwide English New Testament says to keep yourself clean from the wrongs of the world. So we see words like unspotted, contaminated, stained, corrupted. One version said we are to keep ourselves clean from the corruption of the world. We as Christians have to be careful. We've been washed with the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice. Once we repent of our sins, we ask for forgiveness, and we're washed, and we're cleansed, and we're clean. But there's a problem, though. We still have to live in the world. The world system out there, Babylon, confusion, the world that is ruled by Satan. So how do we deal with this dilemma? How do we deal with this problem? How do we remain unspotted from the world? How do we remain clean, unspotted, unstained, and uncorrupted? How do we do that? Well, the answer to that question lies within us. It lies in our determination to do so. It requires effort on our part. Today we'll look at a few ways, or I call them keys, we can use to keep ourselves clean and unspotted and uncorrupted from the world and its influence. Before we do, I'd like to ask a few questions, and I'd like you to think about them and just mull them over in your mind, but keep the answers to yourself. On a physical level, brethren, what things can contaminate us and corrupt us on a physical level? Well, for starters, there's the food we eat. Much of today's food is tainted. It contains fungicides, insecticides, herbicides, antibiotics, and all kinds of harmful bacteria. Let's take chicken, for example. Most of today's chicken is fed mega doses of antibiotics and growth hormones. Why do they do this? To fatten them up and cause them to grow very rapidly and unnaturally. And when we eat the chicken, as a society, we too ingest the antibiotics and the growth hormones and everything else that the chicken eats. It's also true of beef. How about air? The air we breathe is loaded with industrial contaminants like carbon dioxide. Some areas have smoke and chemical contaminants. Industrial pollution from various countries around the world who have no emission standards like we do here in the United States emit all kinds of pollutants, which are then sent up very tall smokestacks, high into the upper atmosphere, where they're sent all over the world. How about cigarettes? As expensive as they are, many people still smoke cigarettes, which contaminates air quality and has an adverse effect on health and lifestyle. And really, secondhand smoke, is they're saying, is worse than smoking the cigarette itself. How about water? Again, we're looking at things that, physical things that can contaminate us. Our water supply can contaminate us. You know, we pour human waste into our drinking water. That's not too smart. Water runoff from various farms sends toxins and contaminants flowing into lakes and streams. It also filters down into the water table. Glyphosate, which is a weed killer, it's the number one weed killer in the world, which is also, by the way, a dangerous neurotoxin to humans, is now found in 93% of all people living in the United States, according to one report. Glyphosate has been labeled a probable human carcinogen by the World Health Organization's Cancer Agency in 2015. So it causes cancer. And it's found in 93% of Americans, according to one study. Again, we're looking at physical things that can contaminate us. Pharmaceutical drugs and antibiotics are routinely flushed down the toilets all across the country. And those too end up in our drinking water. Fluoride is a poison, a known toxin, and it's deliberately poured into our drinking water. And it's in products like toothpaste. The Food and Drug Administration requires all fluoride toothpaste sold in the United States to bear the following poison warning. Warning, keep out of reach of children under the age of 6. If you accidentally swallow more than used for brushing, seek professional help or contact a poison control center immediately. Do children under 6 brush their teeth? Could they possibly get poisoned by this? Is it necessary to put this poison in our drinking water? A few years ago, there was the Gulf oil spill, where millions of gallons of crude oil spilled out of a well in the Gulf of Mexico, contaminating the Gulf. Today, we have the Fukushima Daiichi disaster in Japan, where 300 tons of radioactive water is being released into the Pacific Ocean every day. 300 tons of radioactive water being released every day. And it's been going on every day for the last 5 years. These are just a few of the things or ways that we can become tainted, corrupted, and contaminated physically. Now let's look at some ways we can become contaminated spiritually. Brethren, contamination spiritually starts in the mind. We need to filter what we allow into our minds. The first way we'll look at is the media. And I'm not going to dwell on these things. I'm not going to go into them very deep today. We just don't have all that much time. But we can become tainted through this social media known as Facebook. It's possible. If we're not careful, again, it's possible for us to become affected in a wrong manner, in a wrong way. Facebook can be a portal. A portal is an opening or a door. There are certain things we shouldn't open up our minds to. We should keep out of our minds. Selfishness, arrogance, pride, hate, lust, covetousness, and all kinds of sin. Facebook can also steal our precious time. It could steal our attention. It can affect us so that we do and say things that we maybe shouldn't. It can distract us and cause us to lose our primary focus, which is on God and the things of God and the kingdom of God. The same can be said for cell phones and television. Now, I'm going to say, to start off with, I'm biased. But it is my opinion that much of what is broadcast today is utter nonsense that distorts and corrupts what is good and true. You know, it's unfortunate, but many people just sit in front of these things, their television, their video, their computer, whatever, and they just open up their minds to whatever they're watching. They open up their minds to pollution, to wrong thoughts and wrong ideas. Many of these things, these programs, I call garbage, are filled with torture, rape, murder, lies, mayhem. Some programs have agendas. They push and they promote things like homosexuality, adultery, murder, while mocking and putting down things that are wholesome and good, like the family and a strong father figure. For many viewers, these things are pounded in their minds to the point they just become desensitized to all the garbage. For example, torture. It's sickening, torture, to torture animals, to any kind of torture. The first time you see it, it might make you sick. But if you see it 150 times or 200 times, it doesn't have the same effect. You can become desensitized. And the end game is ultimately the acceptance of these things. Again, this can be said for movies or whatever on the computer, same principle. How about education? Many schools and universities no longer teach, they indoctrinate. Many, many have now an anti-God agenda. They mock and they make fun of what is good and wholesome, and they promote unrestrained sex, homosexual lifestyle, and all kinds of filth. That's today's modern education. Our job and our workplace can, it's possible, have a negative effect on us. Even our family members can cause us to become tainted if we're not careful. They can put pressure on us to compromise and to do that which cannot and should not be compromised. The cares of this world can contaminate us, distort our thinking, and distract us. I'll give you an example. I belong to a gym, and there's a lot of talking going on all the time at the gym. And what do you think people talk about? Anything and everything except God. People are focused on materialism. They're focused, and this is what they talk about, and I just listen. They're focused on their houses, their lawns, how many cars they have, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. They brag about them. Swimming pools, rear decks, the money they get from their pensions, their stocks, their vacations are coming up. All sorts of materialistic things. That's what people talk about in the world. We, however, are different. We can't allow these things to be distractions for us. And if we get caught up in them and overcome with materialism, it can taint us. It can corrupt us. It can turn our attention and our focus away again from God and the things of God. The time we spend, the people we come in contact with, what we read, what we put into our minds, all of these things can corrupt us. They can pollute us. And they can cause our garments to become stained and blemished and spotted if we're not careful. 1 John 3, verse 1. Brethren, it is our responsibility to prevent this from happening. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it does not know Him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not really been made known, not fully understood. But we know that when Christ appears, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this hope in Him do what? What do they do, brethren? They purify themselves, just as he is pure. So here we see that the onus is on us. It is our responsibility. We have to take action to make sure that we, as God's children, are purifying ourselves. We are to strive for purity. Our Father is pure, and we too must be pure. Now let's look at the definition of pure. What does it mean to be pure? Definition is not mixed or adulterated with any other substance, free of any contamination. Free of any contamination. Synonyms include for pure, clean, unpolluted, uncontaminated, and untainted. The point is, this is what we should be striving for. So what I'd like to do in the time remaining is to look at two keys that we as Christians can use to purify ourselves, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The title of today's message is Unspotted from the World. Unspotted from the World. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. We'll go to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. And let's look at some things we can do to remain unspotted from the world. Again, there's just basically two keys we're going to look at today. And the first key is, before we read Proverbs 23, 7, the first key is we have to control our thoughts. It's very simply, we have to control our thoughts. Remember what I said earlier, the mind is the key. The mind is the key. We have to control our thoughts. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart," the word heart there can mean mind, "so as he or she thinks in their mind, so is he or so is she." That is what they are. That is what he is. The New American Standard Version puts it this way, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." So the question is, brethren, what do we think about? Our thoughts are really a reflection of what we have already put into our mind. What we've already put in there. We have to learn to control what we put into our minds, what we allow to get into our minds. And then once it's in there, we've got to learn to control the thinking process. We've got to control the stuff that's already in there. If it's in there, it's in there. Now we've got to control it. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 tells us, "Keep your heart." Again, the word heart can mean mind. "Keep your mind with all diligence." We should be diligent about this stuff. "For out of it are the issues of life." Brethren, we have to guard our minds, and we have to watch and guard what we allow into our minds. We have to decide in our lives to do what is right and to reject what is wrong. And one of the things that can interfere with this whole process is the self. Sometimes the self gets in the way. We struggle sometimes when our self will is at odds with God's will. If we're not careful, we can lose our focus. Our thought process can become self-centered instead of God-centered. We can start thinking more incoming about the self, me, instead of God's way, which is outgoing. Do our wants and our aspirations come first in our lives? Or do we focus our minds on what God wants? Romans 12 and verse 3. Romans 12 and verse 3. Again, we're talking about this first point here. And here we're instructed in this verse, we're instructed in a mindset, a way of thinking. We're talking about the mind right now. And we're given an example how we should think and view ourselves. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So here it's giving instruction on how we are to view ourselves. We have to be careful. Do we like to elevate ourselves and look down on others? Or are we humble in our thinking? Or are we critical or picky in our thinking? No, I've been guilty of these things. We have to be careful. Our example is Jesus Christ. Are we of a humble mindset, a Christ-like mindset? Jesus Christ is a king, yet he made himself a servant. Do we strive for that kind of a mindset? Again, this is all part of the first key, controlling our thoughts, our minds. Galatians 6, verse 3. Galatians 6, verse 3. So, brethren, I ask a question. Are we to be humble in our thinking? Yes, we are. We're to be sober in our thinking. It's possible, however, for us to deceive ourselves into thinking we're doing something or we're doing really good when in fact we're not. We can actually deceive ourselves. Galatians 6, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is really nothing, he deceives himself. Self-deception. We can actually fool and trick ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. We can taint ourselves. We can distort reality to think we're something when in fact we are not. So how do we deal with all of this? Again, we have to control our minds and our thoughts. How do we do that? Philippians 2, verse 5. Again, what kind of a mind should we have? Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. We are to have the same mindset, the same kind of mind that Jesus Christ had. We have to come to the point, and this is critical, we have to come to the point that we control how we think. We have to control our thoughts. We have to reject the self-lies that we sometimes tell ourselves. Jesus Christ is our example, and we're told here in Philippians that we are to have the same mind that he has, to think the way he thinks. And this principle applies to all of our thoughts. We've got to be careful what we allow into our minds, brethren. And then, what we do allow into our minds, we've got to control whatever's in there. Thoughts lead to actions. And actions, if we're not careful, can lead to sin. Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7, excuse me. It says, be not deceived. So there's that word again. He's saying, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. What we sow in our minds, the thoughts that we plant in our minds, the things that we allow into our minds, the things we just talked about, if we sow them, we will reap the fruit of them. We will harvest what we plant into our minds. Excuse me. What kind of thoughts are we planting, brethren? Philippians 4, verse 8. Paul further expands on how we are to control our minds here. Philippians 4 and verse 8. He says, think on these things and these kind of things. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. So we want to think about true things, obviously. Just things, pure things, there's the word pure again. Lovely things, good of a good report. If there's any virtue, the word virtue means goodness. If there's any goodness in anything, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. This is what we should be thinking about. Not the negative type of thinking, but think on the positive. Think on the good. Finally, on this point, let's go to Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. So we are to think positively, and it's hard in a negative world. I realize that. It's hard for me. There's a lot of negativity out there. But we have to try to control our mind and our thinking, to think positively, to think like God thinks on the positive things. All right, verse 1, it says, if you were raised with Christ, notice, it says, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. We're to be seeking those things above. Verse 2, set your mind, again, set your heart or mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth here, not on materialism. Don't get caught up in the physical materialism of the world. It's all going away. It's going to pass. It's not the true reality. We haven't seen the true reality yet. So again, we see that our thought process should be focused, again, it's telling us on things that are above, the true reality, and not on the temporary things here on the earth. So again, the first key we can use to keep ourselves unspotted from the world is we must control our thinking. We must control our thoughts. All right, let's move on to the second key we'll look at today. We must depart from evil. So we've got to control our thoughts. And the second key is we've got to depart from evil. And we have to do these things to keep ourselves clean and unspotted and untainted from the world. And that's what we're talking about today. Psalms 34 and verse 14. And here we see a very short but a very direct instruction. Psalms 34, verse 14. Very short, but very specific. Verse 14, it says, depart from evil and do good. Very simple. There are two actions we need to do here. We must depart from evil. The word depart means to get away from it, to stop doing evil. We must turn our backs on evil. We must turn our backs on sin. We must get away from the things that are evil, depart from them, the thoughts that are evil, and we are to do good. If we're not taking these actions, we need to ask ourselves why. We've got to stop making excuses and make changes if needed. Romans 12, verse 9. In what ways can we depart from evil? And here we see how we as Christians should be behaving. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. So again, it's saying abhor evil. Hate evil. Cling to what is good. The word abhor means to regard with disgust or hatred. This is how we are to view evil, sin. Synonyms include detest, hate, loathe, despise, regard with disgust. That's how we should look at sin or evil things. We have to hate sin. We have to hate what is evil. It's bad. And I have to ask myself, do I abhor evil at all times? Do I really hate? Do I really loathe? Do I really despise evil the way I should? And I'd like to ask you the same question. Do I despise evil as we should? Let's drop down to verse 21, Romans 12, 21. And here's another way we can depart from evil. Again, the second key we're looking at. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, or by doing good. That's how we overcome evil, by doing good. Very simple. So the key to overcoming evil is just to do good. We can depart evil by overcoming it, it tells us, and we overcome it, evil, sin, by doing good, by doing what is right. So we've seen that we should abhor evil, we should hate it, we should detest it, and not be overcome by it. And we do that by doing good. We overcome evil by doing good. We overcome sin by doing good. All right, now we're talking about doing good. That's what we have to do to overcome evil. Now let's look at a few ways we can do good. And they all involve walking. We're going to look at three ways on how we can do good. The word walking means living. The first way we'll look at is A, letter A if you wish. We overcome evil and we do good by walking in love. We must walk in love. We must live our life in love. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as children. So we are to imitate God. He's our Father. We're his children. And walk in love. He tells us to walk in love. We know that God is love. We need to have the same attributes as God. If we're going to be in the family of God as one of his children, we need to think like he thinks. We need to act the way he does. We need to react to circumstances and situations the way he does. We have to respond to life as he does. We can't do those things, brethren, if we're spotted, if we're blemished, and if we're corrupted by the world and the things of the world. We can't do that. All right, so what are some of the things that can cause us to become spotted, blemished, corrupted? There's many, many, but we'll just look at a few here. And Scripture tells us in verse 3, but fornication and uncleanliness or covetousness, let them not be named among you. Neither filthiness nor foolish jesting, nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. So these are just a few of the things that can cause us to become blemished. And we counteract these things by not doing them and by doing good, by walking in love, living our life in love. All right, let's look at another way we can be doing good. And that's what we're talking about now, three ways we can do good. Second way is we do good by walking in light. Walking in light. We're still in Ephesians 5. Let's drop down to verse 8. And it tells us, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are to live our lives now as children of light. The world outside, the world out there, lives their lives in darkness. They're ruled by darkness, the prince of darkness. We are to walk, we are to live our lives as children of light. Drop down to verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Again, the darkness is out there. Rather, expose them. Verse 13. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. The point is, light reveals things. The New American Standard puts it this way. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light. Verse 14, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. We are to reject the works of darkness. We're not to have fellowship with the works of darkness. Why, brethren? Why? Because they will corrupt us. They will defile us. They will taint us. We are to live our lives in light, not in darkness. And lastly, the third way we can be doing good is we must walk in wisdom. We must walk in wisdom. We must live our lives in wisdom. Notice verse 15 tells us See that you walk circumspectly, not like fools, but as wise, or like wise people, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Circumspectly means look around. It implies careful consideration of the circumstances. Be cautious, he's saying. Look around. Take careful consideration in what you do, how you think. We should be aware of the times we live in. And I ask the question, are the days evil, brethren? I think you know the answer to that question. We are to be as wise people, redeeming the time, buying back the time, not wasting it. Sometimes I reflect back on my life and look at all the time I have wasted. Just wasted. It's gone. We should be walking circumspectly, awake, looking around, redeeming the time. Okay, that's gone. We've got to be awake now. We are to be wise now. We need to know and understand what the will of God is now. And to do that, we've got to be close to God. We've got to be tapped into and using His Holy Spirit. You know, we just don't get the Holy Spirit and okay, fine, I've been baptized, I have God's. No, we've got to use it. It's given to be used in each and every one of us. Therefore, do not be unwise, verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So we must be wise children, making good use of the time, because the days are evil, brethren. And it's getting worse with each passing day. To conclude, let's go to 1 Peter 1, verses 15 through 17. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 through 17. Verse 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you in all manner of conversation. The word conversation really means conduct. So in all that you do, he's saying, just as he who has called you is holy, in everything you do in your life, you too be holy. Verse 16. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respecter of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Brethren, we are just sojourners. The word sojourn just means to stay in some place temporarily, to reside temporarily, not permanently. We're just travelers here on this earth for a very short period of time. This is not the true reality for us. We're sojourners, we're travelers. We have a calling, and we've been given instructions. We need to keep ourselves clean and pure and unadulterated from the filth of the world that's out there. The onus is on us. We have to do that. We are to be holy in all our conduct. Why, brethren? Because God tells us to. And we are to live our lives in deep fear, respect, and awe of God and for God and what He's doing. So today we've looked at a few ways we can strive to be holy and pure, unspotted, untainted, and uncorrupted from the world. The first way we looked at is we need to control our thinking, our thoughts. And the second way is we need to depart from evil. We need to flee evil. And to do that, we walk in love, we walk in light, and we walk in wisdom. Brethren, the world is decaying very fast. Just look around you. Satan seems to be making, in my opinion, a major move. The entire world is in a state of unrest and confusion and chaos. You know, once stable nations are now in turmoil. Look at what's happening in Sweden and France and Great Britain right now, the recent terrorist action that happened there. The United States is divided ideologically and politically. And the same goes for Canada. Major things are happening in the world. We need to force ourselves, brethren, to stay awake and to look around circumspectly, to be aware of what is going on. We need to ask God to give us the strength to endure what is coming on the world. And we need to make sure we are close to God and using His Holy Spirit. Brethren, the world out there, the world system is passing away. And to me, I'll say it, it's passing away right before our eyes. We've got to be awake, alert. Let's keep ourselves unspotted and untainted from the world as we await the return of its new King, Jesus Christ.